for joining me for the latest installment of TV Madness with Makisha Madden-Toby. I'm your host. Our guest today is TV critic Amy Amatangelo. She has been writing about TV for 15 years for a number of publications, including the Boston Herald, the Washington Post, and ZapToIt.com. Now she blogs about her love of television on TVGal.com and writes for Pace Magazine, Emmys.com, and Celeb Buzz. We'll be talking about mid-season TV, the TCAs, and the Golden Globe Awards, which should be really funny. So, Amy, do I have you?
You do. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for having me on. I'm very excited to talk TV with you.
Yeah, me too. This is going to be fun. So, let's talk about TCAs. What were your overall impressions of TCAs, mid-season TCAs this year?
Well, I think my big impression and my big takeaway is there's just so much TV happening now. It used to be very predictable, the TV season. We had a fall launch. We watched the shows for a day. They went away. We had the summer. And now I just feel like this mid-season just seems like there's so much more TV than there ever has been before. Returning shows and new shows. And, you know, networks are holding things back, like Smash was held back. And these, you know, big shows that they're kind of holding back and relaunching. And it's just really interesting to me how much things have changed and how, you know, and it hasn't been that many years and we've kind of completely exploded the way the TV viewing is in the TV cycle.
I agree. It's almost like they're two different seasons. It's like, you know, whereas before it felt like there was the fall season and that was the overall season and just sort of everything launched in the fall and that set the tone until May. Now it seems like there's, you know, the fall season until December and then everything restarts in January. And like you said, a whole bunch of new shows either like roll out or a lot of shows come back. Did you have any favorite new shows or existing shows for the midseason?
I'm really excited to see what happens with Smash. I don't know if I hate watch Smash like everyone talked about like last season, but I mean, I thought it was a very flawed show that I enjoyed despite some of its flaws. And I thought it made, you know, some really serious strategic errors, but I really like, so I'm kind of interested to see what happens there with a relaunch. I really love Southland. I'm excited that show's still on. I'm glad it's coming back. So Cougar Town, and I'm really curious to see what happens with Dallas now that they, you know, are dealing with a major loss on that show.
With Larry Hagman dying.
Yeah, exactly. But then for new shows, I really like The Americans, which is that new one on FX.
I did too. I really
liked
The Americans.
Yeah,
I thought Matthew Reese was amazing. I think that's his show. I think he's completely the star of that show.
And I mean, just in case people don't know, he was on Brothers and Sisters as Kevin. So I mean, to go from playing this nice brother on Brothers and Sisters, and to now go
he's like a badass
undercover, there are some scenes that I think in the opening pilot, I don't want to spoil for people, but I was just it's amazing. He told me, I interviewed him, and he told me that he was in a play in New York, and the guy who created The Americans saw him in a play and really saw something in him. Because I think sometimes it's so easy to get typecast.
So easy. And he's a British actor, and he's only known for Brothers and Sisters, so it would have been easy to either forget about him or just have him play that role over and over again and to see him in this. Yeah, it was really fun.
And a big change for Keri Russell, too.
Yeah.
You know, and she's someone, too, who I think is really nice to see. You know, I think when Felicity happened, that's a lot of attention. That's to become that it girl, that pop culture moment. That's so much for someone to kind of handle and come out the other side of, and she's come out on the other side of it really well.
I think this
is obviously such a really different role for her too. You know, so I mean, I really liked the actors in that show, and I really liked the show.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did, but I'm excited about seeing more of it and to see what else Matthew Reese is going to bring us. Did you have any existing or mid-season show, new or existing shows that you hated or abhorred?
Of course I did. Please. What? Yeah, I loved everything. Everything is wonderful.
I know. That's the fun part of our job. I hate it. That.
Sometimes I hate things with a blind passion and irrational anger. Like, you know, like the one, the CW show that was so awful about the Grey's Anatomy. What was it? Now I've even forgotten the name of it.
What was her name? It was a woman's. It was...
Meryl Streep's daughter.
Meryl Streep's daughter, but it wasn't called.
Well, we'll come to us. But anyway, that one I hated with a blind passion.
Yeah.
I hated that with an irrational.
Really? See, I didn't hate that show. It was so funny how much people hated it.
I don't have anything I like hate with like that I want to like hurt someone about. But you know, I thought do no harm on NBC, and that one just more disappointed me because that's Stephen Pasquale.
It was so disappointing, and it was almost it felt like at times that it was a parody of House and like every medical show and every multiple personality show, like all rolled into one, just like one big laugh.
Almost was like at some point like a giant live skit. I don't think it's doing any favors for the mental health industry. Like at 8:25 p.m., you know, schizophrenia takes over. I'm sure everyone who's ever seen a mental health specialist
Emily Owens, MD. Yes, that was that horrible show.
I'm so glad
I didn't hate as much, but you hate it. But I mean, yeah, a lot of people hate it. It wasn't just you, but yeah, I just. don't know. I mean, but I hate do no harm to me is worse actually because I
Well, now I
feel.
think I mean that one to me is just so disappointing because just Emily Owens-MD just got under my skin and annoyed me about what it said about women and doctors and all of
Right,
it.
women
Like
doctors, right, exactly.
I mean, first, I mean, do no harm, just disappointing me. I really like Stephen Pasquale. I loved him on Rescue Me. I think he's a good actor. I just think the show is just kind of ridiculous. I mean, for people who don't know, he's a doctor who has multiple personalities, and at 8:25 exactly at night, because that's how mental illness works. It's very
It's
timed
the
and
witching
orderly.
hour, and he's like, uh-oh,
Right.
I
It's like,
gotta.
I mean, but also just like, I mean, I know TV takes leaps of faith and, it has, it was loose with the facts, but the idea that a mental health disorder would have to be on a time schedule, like, it's kind of,
What
it's
a
making me laugh.
waste of Felicia Rashad, though. I just thought, oh God, this is what you're going to do with Claire Huxtable in her golden years. Is just slap her in
Well, see,
these
I mean, I'm comforted
horrible
by the fact
drama.
that, I know. It just really totally bummed me out. Like, the show just bummed me out. I was like, oh, I want it to be so much better than it is. Because sometimes, like, if something is awful, I don't like anybody, and I'm like, whatever. Like, but this one, I really liked him. I thought it could have been good. And, the other thing I didn't really like was the ABC trifecta of Mistresses, Red Widow, and Zero Hour. I don't know what the heck they're thinking, but I thought those were all awful. Like,
Yeah,
I just was
Zero
like, we need to
Hour's
get rid of all of
really,
them.
really boring and bad in a way that it felt like they're trying to be Lost and that stupid ticking clock. And everything was just making my blood boil every time I watched it as the hour went on in that pilot. And I just thought, this is bad. This is a really bad move for ABC. I just did
And it's
not
also
like
weird,
Zero
like
Hour.
Anthony Edwards is his first like big thing since The
I
R coming back to
know.
TV. I'm like, what are you thinking? And it's interesting because like
He's
Mistresses
thinking he has
stars.
bills to pay. That's what that show said. I've
No, he has
got
the ER
bills.
money. No, he has the ER money. He does not have bills to pay. Like he's living off those royalties. ER's on every day somewhere. Like
Oh,
I'm
God.
not worried about. And plus, Top Gun airs all the time. I feel like Anthony Edwards is probably going to be okay.
What then if it's not money? That's worse. Because why would he do that? You know what I mean? It's
Well, because
such
I
a
feel like it's one
bad
of those things that
show.
probably sounded good on paper. Do you know what I mean? And sounded like a good idea. Because it's not a bad premise.
No, it's not the premise, it's everything else. The casting, the acting, the execution of the premise, and sort of trying to make us believe that this clock was in this hiding he had it all the time, and like these people, it's a
Starts
secret
to sin from a real
society.
world. I mean, I think we have to talk about that. Like, I think, like when real world actors, people start acting, it's just never going to be a good thing. And the Mistresses one is weird too because it's Eugene Kim doing her first thing since Lost and Alyssa Milano. And it's just, again, you're like, and Alyssa Milano is another one of those actresses I totally root for. I'm like, good for you, Alyssa Milano. Like, you've been a teen star. You've survived. You're doing, she's, you've always been in good shape, right? Like, you think about, like, all the things that happen to kids who are on TV young, and she's
That's
really
true.
done well for herself. So I'm like, good for you, Alyssa Milano. Like, don't do this show. Like,
What
find
was that
something
show?
better.
Remember, like 2 years ago, we did some set visits. Did that show ever see the light of day? Remember, there was some Alyssa
Oh, no,
Milano,
it never did.
right? And
What was
all of
that?
these TV male TV critics were like salivating over, oh, it's hot, Melissa, Milano is here, Alyssa Milano, she's so hot. And that show never, it just never, we never saw it.
No, I can't remember what it was called, but I
Don't even
agree.
remember what it's
So. It's
called, but I just
And I feel
remember
like
everybody,
Mistresses
like
might
all
be
these
the
men
same
being
thing
like,
because
oh.
they don't have a date for it yet, a premiere date. So it
Oh,
could be the same
boy.
thing that happens to her,
I
poor thing.
know. Poor
She's
Alyssa
doing
Milano. But she's still pretty. She's keeping it together, so hopefully
pretty.
she'll.
I think she's just, I mean, she does strike me. So I'm like, I bet you're really nice. You seem to have your
She
life together. You
does.
seem to like, I mean, I'm like, good for you, Alyssa Milano. I just wanted to find something that's better. And Eugene Kim, too. Like, I want her to find
I
something better, too.
know. I know. Hopefully she'll have that Carrie Russell type luck and she'll get something and maybe,
I get like very emotionally invested in their career. I'm like, oh, I want
'Cause
you
we
to
grew up
grow.
with them, you know what I mean? It's sort of one of those things where you grow up with an actor or an actress, and you sort of feel like you would be friends with them in real life, even if you really probably wouldn't. You tell yourself that, and you really do want them to have a show that works. So,
Right. Well, also, I think we follow the industry enough to know how hard it is to be young and be successful and have that much attention on you and like kind of survive it all. I mean, you look at what happened to the kid on Two and a Half Men. Like, it's hard. Like, and, some
Oh
of
my
them don't come
God.
out on the other end of it okay. So, when they're like Alyssa Milano or Christina Applegate's another one who were both kind of sexualized
Oh,
at a young
yeah,
age, too, when you think about
exactly.
it. Like,
So
they had a lot
true.
of attention at a young age that was not always pure in ideas and attention, So they both have done pretty well. So I'm like, good for you.
That's a good point. The panels. What did you think of the overall TCA panel? There seemed to be, from what I hear, like we said, there was some sort of blowback from the networks who were saying that they felt like critics were being too snarky on Twitter, which is like, newsflash, this has been happening for years. Twitter's not new. Snarkiness is not new amongst critics. But I
Yeah,
guess
I think
people.
what's different to me, what I mean, I personally don't like is I think it's one thing to be snarky about the show, and like snarky about what we do. I mean, because I think my job as a critic, right, is to criticize this show.
Right.
My job as a critic is not to criticize what someone's wearing during the panel.
Oh, I know.
Or how someone's hair is. And
yeah.
I think that, to me, is I think what they took issue with. And I mean, I don't think they're going to win that battle and people are going to write what they want to write. But, you know, I personally am not a fan of that either because I just don't think it's not what I do. Like, I don't criticize what shirt someone's wearing.
I'm with you on that one. And that's what, I mean, I think.
Unless you go to the Golden Globes and it's outfits and then you know everyone's going to be looking at it.
And that's fair game because it's a big old-fashioned show. It's a big old party. You know what I mean? Whereas with the panels, I took offense to over the summer TCA panels when the big hubbub was about how Britney looked and if she looked tired and if she looked drunk and she looked high. And she, you know, and I thought, and there was several women in particular critics were really, I thought, harsh and mean. And we were talking about how old she looked and how she was a, you know, well-worn road, I think what Martin said.
Right.
And I thought, what does it have to do with her being a judge on The X Factor?
Well, I mean, think we are particularly harder on women in general as a society, right? We're harder on women than we are on men. But when it comes to this, to who looks old, what they're wearing, how their hair looks, what their makeup's like, you know, how thin they are, all those things. And I think Brittany, just talking about, we were just talking about being young and having that much attention on you and being sexualized early on, like, she's someone who's had a hard road. Like, I mean, I definitely think she's made mistakes along the way. I certainly will not stand here and tell you I haven't made fun of her along the way.
But of course.
I would not,
but make fun of her for her work.
Privately.
Right.
Or amongst your friends. I might joke with you, but I wouldn't tweet it out. Just
exactly.
I think it's not my thing. And I think, I think sometimes what happens, and, you know, we've both been in that room, we know what happens is we're trying to make each other laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, people are tweeting, yeah, you know, so the other critics in the room think mm-hmm. what they're saying is funny, mm-hmm. and then they can kind of start bouncing things back and forth and be funny about it. And
mm-hmm.
you know, I think sometimes then you also kind of lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing there when you're trying to make the people in the room laugh, not thinking about that what your followers might want to hear about what's happening on the press, you know, in the panels.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I think, for instance, you look at a panel like Deception, where the showrunners were clearly not prepared for questions about diversity and having Megan Good in a lead role. In case for people who have not seen Deception, it's about a woman who's the daughter of a maid who goes back and sort of infiltrates this rich family to figure out who killed her best friend, which was one of the women in this rich family, who was one of the rich women in the family. And she just seemed so like a deer in headlights about, like, you know, well, how have you, now that Megan Good is in this role, how have you adjusted the script? Will it be more, will you address race? Will you address class? You know, why did you make her the daughter of the maid? Stuff like that. And they seemed completely blindsided.
Right.
When you see like snarky tweets about how blindsided they were, I think that's fair game. If you see tweets
I agree.
You know,
and sometimes they're just like, did nobody prepare people? Did no one tell them?
Well,
what was on? You
know.
But I also think I feel bad for them. Like, okay, if this is their first time out, like, maybe nobody did tell them what happened, and maybe didn't want to know what kind of questions could happen, or didn't, you know, maybe they're just not aware of the TV landscape in general, that race is a very hot topic, so to speak, right now. People are talking a lot about it,
mm-hmm.
and that Megan Good being a lead is there's not that many African American leads.
She's one of two. It's her and Kerry Washington. So how could, you know?
But, like, how did it not occur to you that this would come up? But then I also think if you're not in that world, and maybe they're just kind of in their myopic TV creating world, maybe
clearly.
Think about it, and that. Then I feel like it's like the network's job to kind of prepare them and make mm-hmm. them think that, hey, these are some of the things people could ask you about.
Mm-hmm.
You should think about how you want to answer this, you know? It's just like the same thing with violence. I think
they seem unsuspecting, or they didn't seem ready for those questions about violence.
I mean, some people did, right? Like the FX president, the president of FX Network, he was really prepared for the question. Other people weren't prepared for it. I think other people were kind of annoyed by it, but I think, you know, when you think about like what happened in Newtown, how horrific that is, mm-hmm. and how there's so much talk about how our entertainment might affect violence, and that's a conversation that happened well before Newtown, and will keep happening well after it. But
right.
it was very much a moment. We're having a very much a moment about that. So
yeah.
Again, it was weird to me that some people seemed ill prepared to talk about that as well.
I agree, especially because, like you said, race, violence, these are hot topics right now. They always will be, but I think
they're particularly hot right now.
Right, but they're particularly hot right now because of certain events and like you said, the, you know, you put Megan Good in this role, you know, she's
right.
not, it's not like she has a ton of other people looking like her in roles like that. So,
but I also think the flip side of it, if it's just to play devil's advocate a little bit, is that, you know, sometimes a TV show is just a TV show, and sometimes maybe we are as critics reading into things.
That's
like,
true.
It's just a bad show. It's like a revenge.
It's just a bad show. Right.
Like,
and
it's
I think
everyone at NBC was like, hey, that revenge is pretty popular. We
let's
try
just
that.
Rip it off and then, you know, not really think about it. And how we're going to execute this.
Right.
And I think, unfortunately, the quality of the show, which is not great, got lost in the discussion of race.
Right. Right. And maybe like, and then my guess might be just like, you know, devil's advocate or count, you know, just counter argument would be like, they wouldn't even need to have a discussion about a show like this because it's a really bad show.
And the other, and
the show die on the vine.
Right. And the other flip side of that is like, we, you know, I told my husband about it and we were both like, oh, darn, you know, like, is this now when people ask questions like that, which I think are questions that are very necessary to ask, but when they ask questions like that, and when showrunners get nervous, does that mean we'll never see a show like this again? You know what I mean? Like, not a good, I mean, like, not it being a bad show. We don't want to see bad shows again. But I mean, will they never take a risk again on someone like Megan Good because people are going to say, hey, there's a black girl in this job.
And also, instead of just like, I mean, what I think the kind of what was interesting about that show too is, right, like, maybe they wish they had something to say about, like, why they cast her. Do you know what I mean? And what
they kind of did, but,
there.
But it was lame. You know, cause the showrunner said something like, she brought it. Like, what the hell does that even mean? Like, why are you even saying, don't say that. Don't say she brought it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, could you just come up with some other way to say she was good in the audition?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, she was sassy and she brought, you know what I mean? Like, oh, good. You know? So then that didn't help.
I mean, there's like the cliches, too. I mean, it's like when we talk about press tour, it's all the cliches, right? Like, the script was this amazing thing I ever read. Like, you know, the cast is just so wonderful to work with. They've really become my best friends.
Like, we're family. We're family. I love it. It's a family.
Well, we always said we should play, like, a press tour bingo where you just have all the different cliché phrases and, like, the first person to get them all yells bingo, you know?
I know. It's going to be a drinking game because no one would survive to the end of the tour if it were
no,
a drinking
no
game.
No, there's no one survive like one press conference.
Bingo's
because, I think, like, I can see their point of view, too. They're speaking in front of 100 different reporters who are going to tweet, report, write all those things out to all their media outlets. Like, you can see them being, like, cautious. Like, you're not going to get up there. Unless you're Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey, you're not going to get up on stage and act like you don't like each other. But so,
right. You know? Right. And the thing that was so funny, that the other showrunner, and it will leave Deception alone, said someone asked her, why did you make her the daughter of a maid? And the answer was so bad. She said, oh, is she the maid? I thought she was the head of household. And I'm like, lady, we all watched this pilot. Don't insult us with this mess.
Well, it's also just like a rose by any, you know, like,
she's still a maid.
The name is so
right.
Like, you can call it if you want, the daughter of the maid on that show.
Really?
And, like, if you want to come up with, you should come up with an answer.
Something.
For that, you know?
Yeah, that
I mean,
was
I think
the
it was also, I mean, to me, it was like that, you know, having watched the pilot of that show and a couple other episodes, it was supposed to be because she actually lived in the house, right? And that's how the friends. And so I think you could say, like, I mean, that seems to me like the obvious answer. Like, well, we wanted to figure out a way to have her actually live in the house with someone who wasn't her family and not her actual
that
sister.
Would have been a good answer. See, this is
like,
they need
like,
coaches.
Like
they need you.
That question
they
for
need
them
to hire
why
you.
They made her the maid.
They need earpieces and they need, like, you know, like,
right. No, they totally need a Cyrano de Bergerac, like, talking in their ear.
Seriously.
And, like, you know, like, telling them what to say.
Yeah. So if any executives or PR people listening to this, we're giving you tips right now. Get earpieces, okay?
Right.
And if your showrunner doesn't have the best, isn't the quickest on his or her feet and doesn't, you know, have the best answers prepared, somebody can feed into
it. But I guess also my piece of advice would be, and it's like a piece of advice to live by, right? Like, just don't get that defensive. Like, I mean, I think even if the question comes across as accusatory, you can diffuse it pretty quickly by giving an answer that doesn't seem defensive. I think sometimes, and we see this happen repeatedly too, people get really defensive off the bat and get really, don't act like they don't want to be there, act like they're offended to ask questions, answer questions.
Right.
I mean, it's just so, you know, so I think that's the thing too, is like, especially for the actors, you're actors. This is what you do. Act like you're happy to be on stage. Like, play the role of an actor happy to be on stage.
in that vein, was there anyone on any of the panels who surprised you or disappointed you?
Think so. I mean, I feel like it's really hard to kind of get a read from them. You know, I thought the middle panel I really liked. I'm a huge fan of the middle, and I just thought that was a really delightful panel to hear them all talk. And I really liked hearing from the showrunner on that show, too, because I don't know if you watch the middle. I just think it's a fantastic comedy.
It's totally
underrated.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, I just love it. I just think it just captures family. I just think everything about it is fantastic. I think those kids are, like, the best kid actors. And so, to me, I really loved that show, and I thought I was really happy that ABC brought that show and gave it some of the attention it needs. And I thought that it was really just kind of fun. And I did get the feeling that actually they are like a family without them saying it. I got a sense that they all really
because
did
they
like
didn't
each
say
other,
it too.
Nice.
I know. That's funny. Did you get a chance to watch the Golden Globes at all? What did you think of the overall show?
I did watch the Golden Globes. I took the red eye home on Saturday night. So I ended Sunday morning the Golden Globes. So it literally took me like a week to watch the Golden Globes. I kept watching it in part.
It was waiting for you. It was waiting for you in the DVR.
Yeah. I just want to get to Jodie Foster's speech. When is Jodie Foster's speech? I thought Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were great.
Okay, let's start with the positives.
Yeah, like, I thought they were really funny. I think I liked that they didn't have too many costume changes, or they had just amount of right costume changes.
I thought so.
I thought a lot of their bits were really funny. I thought them...
The fake nominees.
Yeah,
I love that.
I thought the fake nominees, and when Amy Poehler was sitting in George Clooney's lap during her
nomination, I thought that was brilliant.
I thought that was hilarious. You know what I would like? My overall statement of the Golden Globe is I kind of wish Evan would just acknowledge what a kind of joke award it is. At the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, it's like, I don't know, 80 members. But for the most part, I don't think even regularly produce things, right? I mean, for the most part, these are not even writers who regularly write.
Well, these are writers who write for stuff that we'll never see because they're writing for countries that we don't read publications. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'm also, don't you only have to be a member? Don't you have to only like produce like one article a year?
Pretty much, but like, I mean, they're also writing for, like, there was a woman backstage and she was like, I won't say her name, but she kept saying she wrote for the French press and everybody kept saying, what part of the French press? Was it a paper called the French Press? Like, no one knew what she was talking about. And it became a running joke all night. Every time she would ask a question, she would say her name, and she would say, I'm with the French Press. And everybody's like, French Press,
right,
the coffee maker.
Right? And I think, like, it's fine. Like, I mean, I think, like, it's fine if they want to get together and give an award out, and, like, good for them and everything. But, like, I think the fact it's become this thing, and it is in no way close to the Academy Awards. It is no way close to the SAG Awards. Like,
right.
It is.
But oddly enough, in a fluke of luck, or however you want to present it, it has become sort of this predictor for the Oscars. Because,
well, that's why I feel like it's like the emperor has no clothes or something. Like, nobody says, like, everyone just is like, we all treat it as a legitimate award, so it's become a legitimate award. And it's weird. It has become like the Oscar predictor, and less so the Emmy predictor, I think, just because it's so far removed time-wise.
I think it is. It's funny because last year, Kelsey Grammer won for Best Actor on a Drama, and he wasn't even nominated for an Emmy, so it has no connection to the Emmys. But I think a definite closer, I guess, relationship to the Oscars, even if the Oscars and no one else was submitted.
And I think it's a really fun award show. Like, I love it.
It's my favorite.
It's awesome.
It's a big old party. Everybody's drunk. It's like the best food. It's just the best.
And maybe that's why they all seem to be having the best time, too, because on some level, everybody kind of knows it's not that serious.
Yeah.
I think they should be able to give whatever awards. It's just to me funny that, like, it's become almost equal to the Academy Awards when it's, like, in no way equal to the Academy Awards, which is so, like, the Academy
Which makes
is, like,
it even more fun. I know.
Right.
I know. Hilarious. Will you be watching the SAG Awards?
I will. You know, I love the SAG Awards just because, like, the flip side of the Golden Globes is the SAG Awards, right? Where it's the Screen Actors Guild. It's peers voting for their peers. To me, those seem, like, completely legitimate. And if I were an actor, I think that's the award I'd want the most, is, like, my peers thinking that I'm doing a great job on a show. That would mean a ton to me. So I love it. And I really love the opening of the SAG Awards where they all talk about how they got their SAG cards and stuff. I think it's so fun. I really like the SAG Awards. And I also kind of like the no-nonsense about it. Like, it doesn't have a lot of frill. It just is, we come out, we give the awards, everybody goes home. I really like the SAG Awards.
I agree.
To me, I would like them the most.
Yeah. I think the only time they embarrassed themselves was last year when Homeland wasn't nominated. And people were like, what? Like, are you kidding? Are you not watching television? How are these your peers and they don't know about Homeland?
Right.
But they corrected that. This year they do have several nominations for the different actors.
And every award
show
has their, like, fluke, you know, thing that they, you know, I mean, you look at the Academy Awards and what they, you know, to me, the fact that Argo, that Ben Affleck wasn't nominated is crazy, and Catherine Bigelow. So everybody, there's always, like, that outlier that doesn't get into the nominations. But no, I agree. It was crazy last year. They didn't nominate Homeland. I'm glad they rectified it this year.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the Ben Affleck thing because when he came backstage, several reporters from various publications wanted to ask him if he felt slighted, and he kept trying to spin the positive on it. And finally he goes, you know, no one seems to be outraged that I wasn't nominated for the acting category, and the room exploded. So, you know what I mean? Like, I think his attitude is the best attitude to have. He does want to continue to make good movies, and he will, and hopefully. And you know, I thought he was great about it. But it was interesting because George Clooney actually said he was more disappointed than Affleck did. So,
well, I think also Ben Affleck, if you're Ben Affleck, you've been at the peak, you've been at the low, and you're coming back
to the
peak again.
The low.
So you kind of know.
You dated J-Lo.
That was a low point personally and professionally for him.
It was not good for anyone.
No. So, I mean, the fact that Argo was a fantastic film, The fact that he directed it and he's getting these directing opportunities for him, that might be, to use a cliche, like award enough. You know, he might just know, like, hey, you know what?
I think it is.
If I was nominated this time, I'll make another movie, I'll be nominated then.
Like, I think he knows.
He's on the right track.
He is. And Clooney mentioned he was in actor's jail, you know what I mean, for a while. So he's
right.
Talk about a comeback that's pretty exciting in terms of the awards season and just for him and his career. And in movies in general, I think it's pretty cool. So.
No, I do. And I kind of, he's from Boston. I live in Boston. I'm kind of partial to him anyway.
Right.
Like, good for you, Ben Affleck, you know?
At least you fessed up to it. I was waiting. I was like, come on, say it. Say you love him because he's a hometown boy.
I do. I love him because he's a hometown. But, you know, I do love, too. Like, I love the success story. And I love
Me too.
People. Like, I love that he came back, that he didn't disappear when he was making, you know, when he was dating Jennifer Lopez and making all those terrible movies. He could have gone, I think, one or two ways, you know? And I think he really came back from all that, and I loved that about him.
Yeah.
And Argo was a fantastic film. It was fantastic.
I gotta see it. I haven't seen it yet. I just saw Django, so I'm on the track.
Well, the one thing I'll say about Argo is that, you know how the story ends, and that the last sequence of the movie, my heart was racing. Like, literally, I was having a panic attack.
Even though you knew. So that's
fascinating.
Cool. Yeah.
Because you know how it ends, and
I
was still, like, a nervous wreck. It's a brilliant movie. Really good.
That's the next one on my list. Definitely. Definitely on my list.
Meanwhile, it's like the only movie I've seen because you and I both have toddlers, so it's like the only time. I act like I've seen them all. I'm like, I've seen Argo. That's the only one I can talk about.
I've seen Django. That's all I can talk about. Django and
Looper. Because we're like 2/10 of the way through the 10 words.
Yeah, no, I got some work to do. I got some movies to see. But, you know, this is about TV, and I'm so grateful you were able to talk to me about TV and about TCAs and about Golden Globes and SAG Awards and all that good stuff, and it's been fun. I can't wait to have you on the show again. Thank you for doing
it. It was so much fun. I hope I didn't talk too fast. I tend to talk fast, but then I get excited.
I talk fast. Like, you're in good company. So people who listen to the show are used
to it. Well, thanks so much for having me on. It's been great to talk to you.
You're the best. Thanks, Amy.
We gotta thank. Bye-bye.
Bye. So this is the portion of the show where we thank everyone. So we've got to thank Amy again for doing the show. Make sure you check her out at TVGal.com as well as Paste Magazine, Emmys.com, and Celeb Buzz. And we have to thank our sponsor, Record Surplus in Santa Monica, the last record store. Visit RecordSurplusLA.com. NPR West, Theo, the amazing Theo. You guys, he is the engineer. He's like a rock star engineer. He's like, you know, he's hot. You guys, if he's single, ladies, get on it. Get on it. Production assistant and graphic artist, Adam Janis. Thanks, Adam. You rock. And thanks for listening.